All right. Hey, welcome, David Blackman. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just happy to be here. So fabulous. It's a beautiful day in Texas. We've gotten about 3 inches of rain in my backyard the last 2 days.
It was wonderful, wasn't it? I'll tell you a couple things. I did not watch the State of the Rant last night.
The Rant of the Union. Yeah.
The Rant of the Union. Oh, we're going to, instead of the State of the Rant of the Union. Well,
yeah, the Rant of the Union.
Okay. We are live on YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call that.
And LinkedIn. And
ask any questions you would like.
Oh, we love questions.
Pestering is welcome. Okay, here we are. David, you've got a couple just fantastic stories here that RT's on assignment. We want to let's have a moment of silence for RT while he's out pretending to work. Okay.
Not something I do these days, but good for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We got to make a living. And he's doing absolutely fantastic. John Kerry, Absurdity of the Week. You wrote this on your Substack. By the way, I'm going to throw this over here real quick. Follow David Blackman on his Substack.
Look at that. We have a Chiron.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, and then
this is fancy.
RT is the crude truth, .substack.com, and I'm the energy newsbeat .substack.com. So,
oh, the energy newsbeat, man, I messed it up the other day. I just said energy newsbeat. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're doing great. So we'll just leave that here running while we're, going to the next thing. Let's have a moment of silence for Mr. Kerry. okay. I'm going to go ahead and add the video to the stage.
Let's play that video. It is priceless. Absolutely.
Let's just go ahead and do that and have a watch here while this comes
up. We will actually make the world, I mean,
unbelievable.
Let me stop myself and just put one thing in front of you. Currently, 7 million people are dying around the world every year because of pollution, because of the bad air quality. That's greenhouse gas pollution, folks.
No, it isn't.
We know what we have to do.
That's nonsense.
It's the burning of fossil fuel and not capturing it, the emissions, that is the problem.
No, it's not.
So we don't need a new algorithm defined. We don't need a rocket scientist to define what's the problem. We know what the problem is. It's simple. It's us. The choices we make about how we light our homes, our factories, power our vehicles, and so forth. And we have new technologies available now to avoid this crisis if we choose to do so. So that's the test in front of the world. And we will wind up with a world that is safer, that is more prosperous, that is cleaner and healthier. And no one should doubt that that's the other side of this journey of transition. It's positive. It's not something to be scared of. It's something to embrace. And the sooner we get to it, the sooner we're able to enjoy the jobs and the benefits that will come with it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this for a second. First of all, the number 7 million people are dying due to air pollution is a specious number that has no real definition, no scientific basis. In fact, people do die of air pollution from the effects, harmful effects of air pollution, but it's not from greenhouse gases. Okay, greenhouse gases are carbon dioxide and methane. But he's talking about the health effects, impacts on people are caused by particulate matter. Okay, NOx and SOx and other real pollution. We're talking real pollution here, not plant food.
Right.
So everything this guy says is completely false. And the other aspect of what he said that we didn't play there is he's talking about Russia. He got off on the whole Russia-Ukraine thing, and he's outraged by Putin's behavior, as he should be. You know, it's a brutal war, terrible things happening. But he goes and says, I want to do a direct quote, because this is what I really wrote about.
Okay.
Here's what he says, how Russia can improve its PR with the world. If Russia wanted to show, this is a direct quote, if Russia wanted to show good faith, they could go out and announce what their reductions are going to be, their emissions reductions, and make a greater effort to reduce emissions now. And maybe that would open up the door for people to feel better about what Russia is choosing to do at this point in time. So what he's saying is people are going to feel better about Russia killing hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians if Vladimir Putin would just talk about how he's going to reduce the amount of plant food his country is putting into the atmosphere. Okay. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's not just dumb. It's reprehensible. It's ghoulish. Anyway. Yep.
I thought it was fantastic. I loved your Substack article and, your Substack. I highly recommend everybody subscribe and pay for yours because it's worth it.
Well, he made me mad. I was angry. I tend to do my best work when I got smoke coming out of my ears.
Yes, you do. And I'm glad that I'm one of those influencers that drive you nuts to get smoke out of your ear. So you actually owe me for
making
you great because I drive you nuts. Going. Yeah, I drive you nuts. No, and rightfully so. I loved your thing, and your Substack is blackman.substack.com. And I find it that. And what is your other one, which is also good?
Well, that one's even better. It's it's pretty pointed. It's davidblackman.substack.com, and that's about politics. So
right.
I try to keep the two separated, but it's hard to do.
It is, and it's getting harder and harder. And the other article, the series of uncommon events threaten Chevron's buyout of Hess. That's a big story, David. Tell us what you're thinking there.
Well, it is. Exxon filed for arbitration this week and to protect its right of first refusal, that preemptive rights that are in the joint operating agreement related to the big Guyana project that Exxon serves as operator on. Exxon wrote the JOA, so it knows perfectly well what's in it in that regard. And, you know, it's not that they're saying they're going to try to destroy Chevron's attempt to buy Hess, but they do have a right, a first refusal. They have a right to match the offer for the Guyana piece of it.
Right.
And if they're engaged in a negotiation right now with Chevron over how operations will proceed whenever Chevron completes its buyout of Hess. And if they don't believe Chevron is on board with the operational plan, the long-term operational plan for the Guyana project, well, they can say, you know, we really don't agree with your views on this, and we're going to exercise our right to match the offer for it. And, you know, and that will be that. I mean, it's the language in the JOA is clear on this. And so, you know, I mean, I think it would be a risk to buy another 30% of that project, particularly right. Given Venezuela's sitting with their army sitting on the border.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, they have a long-term operational plan and they're just trying to protect their rights and the rights of the Guyanese government to make sure that's carried out efficiently over the next decade.
Do you think that this is going to impact, because that is a, I mean, you and Armando and Irina and Tammy have talked about in the past about how we could trade in North and South America and really not even have to rely on the Middle East. Do you see this impacting our heavy crude supply or anything?
Well, it certainly could. I mean, what they're producing out of Guyana is not necessarily the heavy grade of crude that most of our refineries are set up to process. But God knows there's plenty of that grade of crude in the Western Hemisphere. There's no reason for us to still be importing oil from the Middle East because, you know, if we could fix our relationships with these South American and Central American countries, we would just have far more supply than we could ever use of it. Venezuela has the largest reserves on the face of the earth. Their government's so corrupt and you know, has collapsed their economy and their, you know, nationalized big part of their industry down there that...
You're saying socialism doesn't work unless
socialism never has worked anywhere it's been tried. Nowhere it's been tried. And Yeah, we have every generation has to relearn that lesson. It's amazing how forgetful humans are about history. Anyway, so yeah, and Guyana is going to be producing 1 million barrels a day here within the next 2 years. And, you know, who knows what the ultimate daily production could become as long as there's an orderly development of that resource. And right. Next door in Suriname, by the way, the same trend goes across into Suriname's waters. And so that country stands to have a big bonanza in the coming years as well.
Right.
So not that there's anything wrong with Chevron or that it's any sort of an irresponsible player in the industry. It's a great company, and I think Exxon would agree with that. But they have a plan for development that they want to make sure that Chevron's fully on board with, and I think that's what they're trying to protect here and ensure.
Oh, we got a shout out for Patrick. Patrick, we love you. And
Manly man.
I would love to buy you coffee sometime or a steak just for putting up with us. You're a hoot, Patrick. Absolute hoot. I don't know if he's a stalker, but pretty darn cool.
He's a smart guy.
Yes, he is. Not that I want to get married to him or anything, but as we sit back and take a look, I've had some technical difficulties trying to get the Biden thing. I saw a picture of the speaker looking at him, and I think the only clips that I've seen is I think he was on drugs. They had him hyped up on something because he was I don't even know. There's wrong information in it. It was just unbelievable.
I didn't watch it. I've seen clips of it. It looks like the amphetamines were pretty heavily coursing through his veins. Probably won't see anything from him until Monday after that. And because that was really up late for Biden. And he only works 2-3 hours a day, and it's usually in the late morning to early afternoon. So kind of upset his schedule. So I'm assuming we've probably already called a lid at the White House today and won't see him again until next week.
No. So the energy policies that are coming around the corner, I've got a few things. Let me, while we're going through this, I had a secret file that was sent to me by a whistleblower. Let me see if I can pull it up here.
I have a feeling I'm being set up here.
Yes, you are. let's see here. This one.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly. I know this
tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a. I can't do it. We'll do it live. Okay. No. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Whoops. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. And things suck. 5, 4, 3. That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
Isn't that awesome? I'm sorry.
Bill O'Reilly.
That was Biden last night as he's sitting there. And, you know, normally he's looking in a daze, but last night he was Bill O'Reilly before. And we're going to go live. M, thank you. I'd like to talk about my pet cat. Holy smokes.
My best part of it, the best clip I've seen from the speech was when he was trying to actually say the name Lakin Riley, who is the young lady who was murdered by an illegal immigrant in Athens, Georgia, a couple of weeks ago. And had even been given a badge by Marjorie Taylor Greene as he was coming into the chamber. With her name written on it, Lakin Riley.
Right.
And he can't even pronounce her name. He calls her Lincoln Riley. And Lincoln Riley is the head football coach at Southern Cal University. And it just, you know, he can't even, anyway,
Hey, I do have one from the Secretary of Energy, and she this one is another whistleblower. I can't believe that this is the way that they're running down the energy policies, and you're going to love this one. This is, as we're in an energy department meeting.
So that's someone leaving California to get to Texas. And,
look at this. And they're driving down the road.
My goodness. So, and you just keep going. That's
anyway, you know, that's what we're facing with these policies that I'm seeing, David. And it is unbelievable what's going on. Let me pull up this one article, and then we will be cutting short for the weekend and give everybody back their time. But David, there is another article about New Hampshire's solar projects face delays. There's 20,000 projects. Nothing can get attached. So I have to hand it to the entire. Let me try this. I've never done this before. So let me try this. I'm going to share a screen just for fun. Share a screen. I want to make sure I get the right one since I have 9 screens. I think this is it. Nope. Energy News Beat. Nope. 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 Bear with me. I'm almost there. Nope. 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 All right. We're going to cancel this because I've got 9 screens open. Okay. The title of the article is China Could Flood U.S. Vehicle Market with Its Offerings. Secretary Jennifer Granholm warns, quote, we are very concerned about China big footing in our industry in the U.S., even as we're building up now this incredible backbone of manufacturing, Granholm said during a discussion at an Axios event. Oh, boy, I'm glad I missed that one.
Axios event. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a shame we missed that.
Oh, look at the time. I got to go to the bathroom. Here's another quote. China is investing massive amounts for the purpose of bigfooting so that we can, what is bigfooting? So that we can understand its importance.
She's the one creating the conditions for it to happen. It's so fake. I mean, that's such a phony concern from her. I mean, everything they're doing is being set up intentionally to make us dependent on China and to enable China to invade this market. We have to get our minerals from China. We're getting our solar panels from China. We get the wind turbines and the wind blades from China. And we're going to be getting our EVs from China. We're already getting the EV batteries from China and all the minerals that go into them from China. You know, everything they're doing is setting us up to become a vassal state of China for energy. And
so when we sit here and we talk about the State of the Union, and he was sitting there about ready to chew a steak or a bone or something, I swear he was on something. We look at the energy policies coming around the corner. The one other story, David, that really got me worked up was this week when they were talking about selling the strategic gasoline and diesel reserves. They're going to be selling those off, and then they're closing down the Northeast strategic reserves.
What?
Exactly.
Wow, I hadn't seen that. I'm going to have to go. Where was that?
Let me read that to you. It kind of snuck through. Let's see here. It is 2 days ago. I'm getting it for you. Anyway, that one is really scary to me from the standpoint that why are we selling the SBR and they're closing down the gasoline and diesel strategic reserves? Here it is right insane. Here. The title of the article was U.S. Northeast Gasoline Reserve Could Be Sold Off.
Holy moly.
And this is one of the dumbest things, and it was on oil price. The House is yet to vote on the bill, which allocates funding for half of the federal segments. The bill allows for 1 million barrels from the SPR to Unipec America, a subsidiary of state-owned major Sinopec. Here we are about to sell our diesel and gasoline reserves to a China country again, company again. This is despicable. This makes me so airsick, I can't even see straight. And this was not in the major outlets. I know it was out here in oilprice.com, but I didn't see it anywhere else. Did you?
Yeah. Looks like there was a second somebody else. Reuters did a report on it 4 days ago, and that's it.
Yep. It just kind of went. So when the election
draft bill. Okay, that's in the funding bill. Okay, that's where it is. Okay. Wow.
So, you know, they're going to slide this kind of crud through here. And, okay, here we go. Patrick, I'm sorry. When I get to Texas Day, I'll hook you up. All right, let us know, Patrick. I'm going to go through your notes here. I wouldn't watch the State of Confusion speech. I can't stand. I like that. Got it. He's running out of fingers. Okay. Bigfoot purchasing large tracts of land. They're not doing that already right next to you. Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
I guess selling off the US SPR wasn't enough. That, Patrick, you're getting me worked up, man. I'll tell you what. When he sold the SPR and it is now destroying my you and RT and I, David, talked about this. That the salt mines and the storage facilities are being destroyed because they haven't been filled up. You can't leave them that way. Okay. It seems like the government is forcing its citizens to purchase EVs by closing access to diesel and fuel.
That's starting to happen in California. You know, they're not allowing the building of any new gas stations now, and there was one state in the Northeast that has the same policy. I forget which one. So, yeah, that's coming. That's one of the next things they're going to be doing is making it very difficult, if not illegal, to build new gas stations.
Oh, absolutely. And then here's one. Any thoughts on proposed shift by the EPA to increase ethanol content in gasoline?
Yeah, that's a campaign deal. I'm trying to get money from the ethanol makers.
Thank you for Mr. LinkedIn user. I'm not sure. I had the same problem when I was stalking you guys and I'd make a comment. It comes in as LinkedIn user, even though I don't know why it.
I don't know why that happens. Yeah. Maine. Might have been Maine, Patrick. Yeah, it could be.
Even though I voted for Bush, he disappointed me, and the ethanol takes more energy to produce and negatively and fiscally is irresponsible to the environment, has no good benefits. So anybody that thinks that ethanol is good, your engines don't do as well. I can go fill up in my car and I get 24 miles per gallon with non-ethanol gas. And as soon as I put in ethanol for a long haul drive, I get 21 to 20. So there is a direct correlation between lousy gas mileage, more pollution, worse for the economy. And why are we even using ethanol?
Thank you. Corn farmers want us to. I mean, basically, it's, you know, the corn lobby. And, you know, that's a Democratic Party lobby, so it'll never go away.
Oh.
President's limo runs on diesel. Yes, it does. Yeah. And every other car in that 40-car motorcade runs on diesel, too.
No, why do they run on diesel?
I don't know. I'm not sure why that is. I mean, it's easier on the engines. You know, the presidential limousine weighs 20,000 pounds.
You'd need
Yeah, so you need diesel just to reduce the wear on the engine. That's gonna. I mean, you're gonna have to. That thing maxes out at 60 miles an hour. That's as fast as it'll go, and you're revving the engine up as high as it'll go to get there. So, you know, they run on diesel, I think, to reduce wear on the engine.
Well, here, the one thing that I did notice, real quick, we got about five more minutes, David. And then you had mentioned particulate matter. And when I was talking to Chris years ago, and then Chris Wright and Nuremberg this week, particulate matter is there's billions of people that don't have regular low cost energy and they're cooking on dung. They're cooking on wood. Alex Epstein is a wonderful cat, and he has been talking about this as well, too. The tires, the EV tires, the particulate matter in the EV tires, this is not talked about a lot. I didn't realize how bad it was until we had talked about it. The particulate matter in the tires, the EVs burn through the tires and are causing more air pollution than you could possibly imagine by having the particulate tire problems. And you're burning through your tires in a fraction of the time.
And again, that's real pollution. Okay. That's actual pollution. That's not plant food we're talking about here. It's real pollution, and it's a problem. And so one guy on LinkedIn told me, well, the solution to that trouble is we need better tire technology. And I'm like, well, maybe we need battery technology that doesn't add 2 tons to the weight of the car. I mean, you know, why is it always somebody else that has to solve the problems that EVs cause? Why don't the EV makers solve the problem?
Yeah.
Why aren't they responsible for anything? They're the ones getting all the government money.
Now, I will say that I want me a Cybertruck. I really do.
It's just a DeLorean. It's a big DeLorean.
It's a DeLorean, but I
ugliest
really like
cars I've ever seen.
It is. It's fugly. you know, I
okay, dated. I'm sorry. Why do you want it?
I want it. It's bulletproof, baby.
It's bulletproof. I knew that.
I'm all in. I want me a tank. You know, I'm so it's either a Cybertruck, and I could look stupid driving it, which I do. I mean, just take a look at me. And now, do I want to look stupid driving a Cybertruck? Sure. I'm all in, baby. Yeah. But it'd have to be my third car. I'm going to get a Ford 350 because I can. And I need it for all the stuff I have to tow. I can't tow with anything like that. So.
And it runs on what? Diesel?
Yes.
Yes.
I love me some diesel. So anyway, David, what's coming around the corner this next week for you?
Man, I don't know. I'm about to post an interview with Dan Juergen that we just did. CERAWeek's coming up, getting ready for that, lining up some interviews for CERAWeek. And I think I'm going to be talking to one CEO at least, and maybe two.
Nice.
During the event itself, and hopefully get other interviews with some folks. You know, we just get up every morning and see what's hot and write about it.
Sounds great. You know, I think that Monday we're going to be talking about extreme political actions. Don't miss it. It's the Energy Realities. It'll be on your LinkedIn. It'll be on the Energy Newsbeat YouTube, the Crude Truth, or it'll be on my Twitter. And I'll tell you what, David. As the world is waking up, we're going to see more and more weird and extreme negative policies coming in. And I don't think that we have any idea. Your stacks with interviews, David. Yay.
Oh,
So you've got some great, great interviews out there. And I have to admit mine with Nuremberg and Chris Wright was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I need to see that. I haven't seen it yet. Is it out?
We haven't released it yet. But you know what was fun, David? I was able to say when you and I did the interview with Doomberg that you set up, and I mooched my way in. So thank you very much. I'm a beautiful mooch. The people that were lining up and asking for Doomberg to get an autograph was absolutely hilarious. Here is one of the greatest minds in the world. And then when it was over, Chris Wright and Doomberg and I, he goes, Stu, come on up, but he was, really wanting, he was just being polite to me, but he's really going to have dinner with Chris Wright. So here's a, believe me, I'm going up. I'm going to take that advantage. I'll take him to dinner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we need to buy Doomberg a big green chicken mascot suit, like they, the mascots of football games wear, so that he can make public appearances.
Absolutely. Have you seen those dinosaurs that are kind of blown up and they kind of blown up? And they're cool. We need a Doomberg blown up chicken.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So Mr. Doomberg, if you're listening, we love you. And everybody needs to subscribe to that. So with that, David, his Substack's been rolling at the bottom. RT is out on assignment right now. He's drilling some wells. We love RT providing low cost energy to the U.S. With that, everybody have an absolutely safe, wonderful weekend. Hug your cat, hug your dog. Tell your neighbors about the three podcasters walk into a bar. And also David's the energy question. Mine's the energy news beat. And we're off and running. Have a great day, guys. Hey, talk to you soon.
Adios.